Hey there, welcome back. You're listening to The DM with Audrey, Brianne, and Tyree.
On last week's episode, we reviewed Another Simple Favor, which you should definitely check out.
And on this week's episode of The DM, we are interviewing costume designer Charlene Ekuyemoa.
Today, we have a very special guest. Their work includes Bet, 40 Acres, Settle Down, and so much more. Charlene Ekuyemoa, can you please tell us how you got your start as a costume designer and what actually drew you to costume design?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and have a chat and, you know, talk about everything costuming. I have lived many lives before getting into costuming. I wanted to develop video games. I was a dancer for a long period of time until I got injured. And then I went into styling and having my own clothing line with two of my best friends called Broken Living. So we were doing that for a time. And I was styling music videos. A friend of mine, she was a producer on this project, and she was looking for a costume designer. And it was going to be free 99. And I said, why not? I'd help her out. In my brain, I was like, I've done styling before. I've done music videos before. Like, I know how like movement works and things like that. So I, you know, volunteered to help her out. I knew nothing about the film world. Like, it was such a new world. It was so different. I didn't even know that this world existed. You know, like, I knew that, like, I watch films and I love the costuming of the films and things like that. But I just didn't realize that it was accessible to me or that it was accessible to people that looked like me. And so getting into it, I knew nothing about continuity. I knew nothing about just framing and colors and how it would show up on camera and based on the lens that they're using, based on the way that they're coloring things. And so it was definitely me kind of jumping into the deep end head first. When I saw that first frame on camera, I was hooked. I loved it. I was like, this is... Because, you know, when you do music videos, when you do editorials and stuff, like, it lives just for such a short period of time, and then it kind of disappears. But this was something that, like, is going to live forever. It's going to be watched many different times. It's going to be internalized. It's going to give people, like, things to talk about. It's going to evoke emotion for, like, years and years. And yeah, after that first frame, I was like, how can I get more of this feeling? And, you know, how can I do more of this? So I did some research. I looked for any sort of like costume design workshops. And I found one by a costume designer named Joanna Siracomla. She is the costume designer for Murdoch Mysteries. She was talking about the show. And after the workshop, I went to go speak to her and kind of volunteer my time. And, you know, I was like, if you're working on anything, I will do whatever. I'll be your PA, like whatever you need. And so I ended up helping her on a film that she was doing. And then later on, she asked me to interview to be an apprentice on Murdoch Mysteries. And so I apprenticed for them for a little bit. And then she asked me to come on as their costume assistant. Ever since then, it was just, you know, getting into the union. And then she would recommend me to people to kind of do short films here and there. And then it was just word of mouth, and it kind of grew and spread, and here we are.
That's so interesting. I'm a stylist, and a very similar story of, like, I don't want to say that you fall into it, but, like, it is that once you have, like, kind of made your, like, put your foot in the door, like, it's just a matter of, like, word of mouth. That's exactly what happened with me. It was a lot of word of mouth.
Because if you're good at what you do, people are going to want to, you know, push you forward and see you do better and more things. So
is there a career hurdle that you've had to conquer or put extra effort into mastering within this costume design world?
I always say that I feel a little bit privileged just because I've had so much support from the costume community that, like, people that I didn't even know were saying my name in rooms were kind of pushing me forward, you know? And so I wouldn't necessarily say that there were hurdles, but the challenge, I think, for me has been kind of learning that costume design is not just putting clothes on people or designing clothes for people. You know, it's managing a whole workroom of your team, your crew. It's managing that. And then it's managing the executive producers. It's managing the studios. It's managing and just kind of making sure that everyone gets what they want. Mm-hmm. I think for me, that's probably been the biggest challenge. And really trying to figure out, I don't think I've mastered it just yet, but just like trying to figure out how to please all those people at the same time. And I think that like, I don't know if there's ever going to be a moment where it's like every single person is happy at the same time. And yeah, I think that's kind of where my challenges have been, is just kind of like managing all of the different worlds and then still having time to create and be creative. And because that takes so much out of you, right? Like it's all of that management, all the different energies, like everyone wanting different things. And then you still have to be creative and you still have to deliver and you're still building worlds within all of this. Without having, you know, Joanna there, like even getting into the union, like a lot of people have reached out to me about how do I get started in this? And for me, I kind of fell into it through chance, through universe, whatever it was. But there are a lot of people that are like, how do I even get started in it? And that's kind of the hurdle that I'm trying to help others overcome. And it's, for me, it was just, you know, doing that research and really just putting myself out there. And I had the privilege of being able to like work for free, where a lot of people don't. And so that's why I always push, you know, if there's apprenticeship programs, because you do get paid for that, that's where you go.
I love that. Like, not only are you, it sounds like a mentor to people, but like just the fact that you are not a gatekeeper, that's really nice to hear that like you are wanting and not just, you're walking the walk and talking the talk of like giving out these tidbits and notes and ways to succeed. So I like that you're building up others like that.
Yeah, I feel like because if it wasn't for like people that did that for me, I wouldn't be here, right? And so I think it's so important to make sure that I'm also like, as I'm stepping up, I'm kind of reaching down and bringing people up as well, because there's so much talent in this world and there's so many stories that are untold that I feel like I just need to continue to help others kind of get into this world.
I love that. So your portfolio spans a bunch of different genres, from drama to comedy to sci-fi. You even talked about styling. How does your design approach change based on the tone or setting of the project?
It depends on, I mean, it's all project-based, right? It's all dependent on kind of what it is that we're trying to convey. But I always say that because I come from a styling background, my boards and my vision is always so highly stylized. And that's how I approach all projects, like across the board. And then I kind of start high and then let the networks bring me down, right? Like I always want to make sure that that's kind of how I feel like I want to set myself apart, right? Is coming from such a highly stylized world. And then I'll let Amazon, Netflix, whoever say, okay, I need you to calm down a little bit.
reel it in.
High fashion, right? And then it goes into the nitty gritty of like, okay, for Bet, for example, it's like, this is an anime, right? It's animated, it's loud. It's like, if you watch the anime on Netflix or if you're reading the manga, it's chaotic. There's so much energy that's happening throughout all of the episodes, throughout all the chapters, that I find ways to kind of translate that into the costuming and I get to have fun and I get to be loud and I get to be animated. But then, you know, with 40 Acres, for example, that's like post-apocalyptic, you know, it's breakdown, it's dirt, it's blood, it's kind of, and you know, there are still style elements in 40 Acres as well. Like I still kind of brought that into the world. But there is where I had to tone down and kind of, you know, the colors in 40 Acres, for example, were all like, that family just wore black and gray. Like that was their kind of military look. It's project by project where I kind of still come from a highly stylized point, but then, you know, reading the story, it's like, okay, where am I toning down? Where am I styling it higher? Or where am I keeping it super simple?
What would you say was your big break today? And I think maybe a more clear way of saying that is, we're curious, was there a project that you've worked on that swung the pendulum harder, where like you kind of felt like you'd elevated, like you felt that movement happening in your career? Was there a moment or a project that did that for you?
I don't know. I think for me, every project has kind of set the bar higher and mm-hmm. and kind of moved me up, because after every project that I've done, I've just done bigger and bigger things, and people have recommended me for bigger and bigger things, because it's almost like, yes, now we trust you to do this bigger project because we know we can see what you've done. I mean, there was a project that I did when I was still fresh called Avocado Toast, and it was like a web series. And I absolutely loved working with that team because it was, you know, it was an indie project. So I got to do whatever. I got to be highly stylized. And then that kind of pushed me to other projects because now people could see that I was doing bigger and better things. And when we got to, I would say, like Robin Hood, for example, that was like my first big TV series. And that was, you know, building masks from scratch that light up in the night, and you know, building capes that were, I got to actually create custom fabrics. That kind of like, you know, upped my skill level, you know. And then we moved into other projects, and then we got to 40 Acres, where it was like my first time doing a post-apocalyptic project, which right now it was out in theaters and like it's just being received so well. And that again kind of pushed me to another level. Yeah. And then I ended up doing Bet, which I think, to fully answer your question, is probably the one that kind of like set me up for like everything else that's happening in my life now. It was my first big Netflix series. It's doing so well. We just got renewed for season 2. Yeah. So I think that project was accumulation of like everything that I had been doing. So I don't necessarily feel like there was just that one that kind of set me apart. Mm-hmm. I always feel like it's multiple projects because you're kind of collecting skills, you're collecting contacts, you're collecting all of these things. And it's kind of like that, like there is no overnight success. It's that accumulation of all the things that you've done that kind of like push you to where you are now.
So looking back on your work, and I know that you can't just choose just one, but are there any looks or characters that you're especially proud of, and why?
I can choose one because the most laborious and stressful one, but it turned out so beautifully. So in Bet, Yumiko's Bet Gala gown, it was made out of this like chain fabric, like this red chain mail fabric. And my sewing team, led by Christopher Parnell, actually iconic, that was literally a couture dress. Like that was made by hand. Every single stitch, the draping, the corseting, like everything about that red dress was made by hand. Countless hours, countless fittings. And there was a detail that you don't really see on camera, but in the manga, when Yumiko's character is introduced to the school, there's a floral border around it. And I wanted to kind of, because the Bet Gala episode was kind of her introduction and like her kind of like showing the school that like, I'm coming for you guys. Like this is, I'm here, right? And so I used that floral border. We kind of blew it up and my team like hand painted that onto that chainmail dress. And then we found out that she was getting a dance double. So we had to do that all over again. And it just looked so beautiful on camera, looked beautiful on screen. Like the movement was incredible. And I think huge, huge love to that, to my costume team, because they did such a fantastic, phenomenal job. And like, it looked so beautiful. They were so down to like, you know, tailor it and alter it for the dancer to make sure that, you know, she could move in it and she can do all these dance moves. And what's funny was we had a dance rehearsal with, I had purchased a cheaper chainmail kind of dress just so that they could rehearse in something similar. And when it came back, it was completely, it almost looked like it went through a lawnmower. Like it was completely destroyed. And at this point, we were so close to camera. This dress had already been approved by Netflix before we even knew that there was going to be this rigorous dance move. And so it was like, it was too late to change it, right? And so when that dress came back, I literally just sat on the floor of the costume room and I was just like, okay, like, what do we do? Yeah, we worked with it. And I mean, luckily our, like the fabric that we had was a lot more sturdier. And so we, you know, reinforced the stitching. We added some like extra stuff on the inside to make sure that it was movable for our dancers. And yeah, it turned out beautifully. But that for me is like career highlight dress. It looks so beautiful. I keep saying that, like, we did couture, like we had couture at home.
Costume can say so much about identity or emotion without, you know, anything being said. How do you use costume to support character development or subtext in a scene?
That's a really good question. I always take it back to Tibet, for example. So we had our character Ryan. When he started out, he was supposed to be this like nerdy boy, like, and he is a Black character as well. So it's like, you know, his hair was just kind of fro and like unkept, and like his uniform wasn't fitting right. And kind of as the season went on and him realizing his feelings for Yumiko and him wanting to be this different person, we had to like completely switch up the look. It was very subtle, but it was like, now his blazer is fitting better. Like now he's, you know, he's wearing a fancier watch. His shoe isn't falling apart. His hair, he kind of did that kind of roller thing with the hair and kind of made it look a little bit more fly. And things like that kind of, for me, help push that character's narrative forward. And you kind of can see the shift in that. And kind of did the same thing with Mary, where, you know, she starts off in the student council. She has her blazer. She's very structured. She's very strict. And, you know, as things go forward in the story, and she kind of builds a soft spot for Ryan and for Yumiko, like, her clothes are a bit softer. She's wearing less of the blazer. She's wearing more of cardigans. She's wearing, you know, she feels a little bit more approachable. And I like to play with things like that in the character, even if you don't really like see it happening. Like psychologically, you can feel that there's a difference. There's a shift in the way the character has developed. And I think the actors also kind of feel that, and it's the way that they act and the way that they walk. Like Ryan, like, once his transformation happens, like he's walking taller and like, you know, he has a little bit more confidence. And I think in all of the stories, like when there's certain characters for me that, like Suki, his character stays the same the entire time. There is no character arc. He doesn't learn anything. Like he is the same dramatic person, even after going through being exposed as like a fraud or anything, like he does not change. He comes back the exact same person. And so his costuming kind of gets louder. Like, you know what I mean? Like his, you know, the way he dresses, like there was that big reveal at the Met Gala when everyone finds out that, oh, he's actually not dead. He's alive. And we wanted that entrance for him to be so grand and so dramatic. That's why I put him in that silver two-piece number where it's like, he's sparkling. You know what I mean? Like I'm coming back to be an even bigger menace than I was before. And yeah. And that's kind of how I play with that in storytelling.
Oh, that actually sounds really fun to do. It's ever changing. It's not going to be the same for any characters, any project. Like, exactly. That sounds like a nice, like a nice change of pace for each work that you go into.
So for a newcomer that's still in school, what would you recommend specializing in or helping them to equip for a role in costume design once either they're out on their own or something as they finish school, I would say?
I honestly think that, like, and I feel like a lot of other costumers probably won't agree with me, but I think that, like, if you are in school for fashion or for, you know, fashion illustration, there's a world for you in costume design in like every single facet, right? And if you have that eye and you study film and you understand, you know, garment construction and colors and color theory and things like that, like there's a place for you in costuming. And if you are trying to get into costume design, there's in Canada, there's the Canadian Film Center where you can volunteer and work on short films and really kind of like own your skills. But I think it's the same thing that I did. It's just researching and figuring out what exactly it is about the costume world that you like and then kind of like delving into that and finding, you know, there's Facebook groups, there's, you know, there's colleges where people are doing like student films that need volunteer costume designers. It's just about really figuring out what it is about the costume world that you love and that you enjoy doing, and then reaching out to people. And Google is free, and figuring out, you know, who's doing what, even if it's like a workshop, even if it's like the same thing that I did, like finding costume designers that you admire and seeing if they're speaking anywhere, seeing if they're, you know, they're doing anything and reaching out to them. And most of the time, if they're not crazy busy, they're very susceptible to having people come and even if it's just being a costume PA and you're grabbing packages from the post office, from whatever, you will get to network with people and kind of grow. And I think that's the advice that I have, is just like researching and networking and putting yourself out there, especially once you know exactly what it is that you want to do. And even if you don't know what you want to do, once you are like, let's say you're a costume PA, or once you're like reaching out to people, you'll quickly figure out what you like and what you don't like, and then kind of like shift into that world.
And earlier you were stating that it's this matter of like, you didn't even know that the costume design like existed. I think what's so nice is like, we're now peeling back that layer of the whole, like the Naked Without Us campaign. Yeah. And just so many podcasts are popping up. It's just costume design is really, I'm glad you guys have an award an award at the Academy Awards, but more than that, I just think that there's a lot of behind the scenes that people are now not only attuned to, but like interested in knowing. And so it might even, dare I say, be easier now to explore it, that get some feedback, versus like, I don't know what people were doing, 10, 15 years ago, but I just have to imagine that this surge of elevating the costume designers it's a fun time right now for you guys.
I totally agree. And I think seeing people like Ruth Carter and Paul Tazewell, like just getting the Oscars, the Tonys, the Emmys, like all of that has been so incredible. And like just having the costume world be so at the forefront of things now has been amazing, because it's the little version of me seeing that would have been like, oh, I can get into this. Like, this is something that I can do. Like, this does exist for me. Right. So, and like with everything being so accessible, like, I think it's a lot easier to kind of, put yourself out there and find exactly what it is that you want to do.
Can you walk us through, like, what's your creative process like when you are set out to design the costumes for a new character or series? Like, is it a process that you do for every job? Or like, just how does that all work and like how you approach it?
So it always starts kind of before the interview. I get a script, and it's like, I'll first read the script just to kind of get a sense of the world that we're in. And then I'll read it again. And the second time that I'm reading it, I'm looking for like context clues. Like, who are these characters really? Like, what's their backgrounds? Like, what are they going through? What are their traumas? Just kind of getting a sense of who these characters are as individuals. And then I start mood boarding. And there is an image on the internet for everybody on this earth, right? And it becomes about searching, whether it's, I found this person in another film, I found this person when I was walking down the street, I found characters. There have been times where I've been struggling to find certain characters, and I will be walking down the street and I see a girl or a guy walking past, and I'm like, can I take a photo of you? Because this is exactly who I envisioned. And I have with their permission, of course, I've had like Pinterest boards with like just people that I've seen on the street with the character that I'm trying to find, because sometimes I don't even know what the word is that I'm trying to look for to type it in Google. Right. And so once I've done that, once I've like read the script a second time, I go deep into like research mode, and I'm like, okay, this character has X, Y, and Z. And sometimes like, the network or whoever, they will come in and they have their opinions as well of what they want this character to look and feel like. And sometimes they'll have, with Robin Hood, for example, working with Director X, he's so meticulous and he's so specific about each and every single character, that he had breakdowns of each and every character based on numerology, based on their star signs, based on like, he broke it down to the T, which for me was like, okay, great. Like, now I know who this person is. I know what this person would wear. Like, I know what store this person would go to. And so doing that research and then trying to find them in the world and kind of putting them in different boards and things like that. And then, I decide whether there are certain items that I have to build for them, or if I can go to these stores and purchase it. And then obviously we'll have to like in fittings, modify, add things, remove things. And that's kind of how I do that.
I love the people watching / getting permissions to take a photo. Like, I haven't heard anyone say anything like that for their research. Mm-hmm. That's a really cool way, though, to get into your job and like have some reference to come back to, because I do that. I look at strangers sometimes, and just in my own daily life, I'll be like, that's a cute outfit. I'm going to wear something mm-hmm. like that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So yeah. it's really cool that you said that. I was like, oh, I hadn't even thought about like, yeah, just you living mm-hmm. your life and seeing things that you're like, can I snap a photo of that so I can, you know, utilize it.
Because we're in the world of like social media, and people love when people come and take photos of them. Like, they love that shit. So it's not even like a weird thing anymore. It's just that, like, or especially if you're like, oh, I'm working on a project and you look like one of the characters, like, I would love to take a, and they love that. So I never shy away from if I see someone in the street, or like, I will 100% reach out and be like, hey, your outfit is fire. I would love to take a photo of it.
That's so cool. So moving forward, how do you hope that your work will impact others in your field or the community?
I honestly hope that, like, and this is how I feel about seeing Ruth Carter and like Paul Tazewell and Antoinette Messam, Gersha Phillips, like all of these like Black costume designers. Like, I just want to continue to be inspiration for other Black costume designers that, you know, and just costume designers in general, but like people that feel like they don't belong in certain spaces or don't have room in certain spaces, right? I just want to, I think, continue to pass the torch and be that inspiration for other people, and just to, for other people to know that it's possible and doable. And like, I want people to look at my work and not think that I'm, you know, I'm a one trick pony, you know, like I want to show people that like, I can do comedy, I can do anime, live action, I can do post-apocalyptic and still be good at it and still be successful and still kind of like thrive in those spaces. That's kind of where my hope is.
And what's something you think aspiring costume designers can be doing every day to prepare for the job itself?
I think just continuing to watch films and to research and to find inspiration everywhere. Museums, in music videos, in like old photos and old footage, because, you know, fashion is cyclical. Things come back, and you could be the person that brings back, you could have been the person that brought back capris. You know what I mean? That is back in style right now. That could have been you. Like, so it's going back and just being a student of the game and just learning and watching films and, you know, questioning, like, why did they put this person in this dress? And like, you know, in The Matrix, the woman in the red dress, like, why did they do that? Like, what was the purpose of these things? And for me, my favorite thing to do is I geek out over, you know, costume design interviews. I think it's Vanity Fair, one of the magazines that does like interviews with costume designers where they kind of go into detail about specific costumes and why they did X, Y, and Z. I did that when Ruth did hers for Black Panther. I was obsessed. Can I tell you, I was obsessed with Black Panther when that came out, both of them. I like was just researching and learning, and like I learned so much about different techniques that you could use, and like 3D printing and like painting fabrics, and even, you know, the show Wednesday, and like how you know she got custom fabrics and like printed the, or like painted certain fabrics to create certain effects, and, you know, really studying these great costume designers and learning about their techniques and learning about how they source things, how they do their research. And I've learned so much by just doing that, and have become such a stronger costume designer for that, that like I will continue to preach being a student and researching and learning about color theory and learning about how different lenses affect fabrics, learning about how, because with Bette, for example, you know, we went through so many different red fabrics to land on the one that we actually shot and used for the blazers, for the cardigans at, you know, at the school. And so, you know, having that knowledge of like, you know, the lenses and how specific lenses will saturate or desaturate specific fabrics, I wouldn't have known that if I, you know, didn't continue to study. So that's kind of my thing that I will preach all the time, is like, study, be a student of the game, get inspiration from as many places as you can. Because it's that thing of like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. Because like, once you're in it, you're in it.
Yeah. And once you start doing it in the beginning, if it's something new that you're introducing into your lifestyle, it may feel a little like forced, but then it just becomes habit, you know, as a stylist, like I do my research and like I had to one day start doing that. And now it's just like, it's just how I do my job and live is it's part of it now. But yeah, I love how realistic that answer is, because I think some people get intimidated by the industry, especially with the, you know, the names flying around. There's a lot of very like the fame. I think it's nice to be able to tell them that like, no, you just need to open up a phone or a laptop or like go to the library and get a book on costume design, like just these attainable ways to start that journey into costume.
As you were saying, like it just becomes natural now. Like even if I'm on TikTok or on Instagram, or I'm just killing time, I'm just browsing just to browse, and I see something that inspires me, I have a folder on Pinterest and on my, like my laptop that I just put these things into, because one day if I'm designing for a character, I'm like, oh, let me go through this Rolodex of stuff that I have now. There is somebody there that will have it.
And it's nice to have that paper trail. Cause then like sometimes you aren't necessarily touching that folder for a while, but you go back in and it does, the inspiration and the feeling you got for why you even put it in there in the first place comes back. And then that excitement gets flowing. Like, I love how you just said that, because it's very true. And it's a great way to help creative blocks that may come up.
That too. Yeah. Cause especially like I've had moments where, like I was saying before, earlier, where it's just like, I can't find this character. Like, I don't know who they are. Like they could be written beautifully, but I'm just like, there's so many different versions of who this person could be. Like, I just don't know. But then going through my old stuff, I'm like, oh, this is her. Like this immediately. And it clicks and it's like, yes. Yeah.
That's so cool. My Pinterest and my DMs to myself. Oh my God. Yep.
The DMs to myself.
Crazy. It's just like pictures of it. But the last question is, what is next for Charlene and where can our listeners find you?
Well, I'm from Toronto, but I'm currently in Vancouver filming a really cool Amazon series. I don't know how much I can say about it yet, so I will say very minimal, but it is very fun. And it's based off a book, which I love, and the book's really popular. And so it's that thing of like, the same thing that happened with Bette, where it's like, this is something that comes from a huge fan base. And so, you know, tread lightly or you will get doxxed. So it's kind of like that, but you know, we're
all order when it comes to built-in fan base. 100%.
I feel like we did pretty okay with Bette because we got season 2 and the fans are loving it. We're getting a lot of, you know, fan edits and things like that. I've been getting so many emails. So I'm hoping we get the same treatment on this show as well. So I'm currently working on that for a little bit. And
that was on Amazon, you said, to kind of look out for?
Yeah, this one is going to be on Amazon. And not sure exactly when it's coming out yet, but the team is great. The cast is stunning. Like, every single one of them is so incredible. I've been very blessed back to back to have like great cast and great, just great humans to work with. You can find me on Instagram. I'm Charlene AKU Costumes on Instagram. That's currently where I live, just Instagram. I am on TikTok though, Asia Fiasco on TikTok. I don't post much, but I am there. You might find me in other people's comments sometimes. So I am active. But yeah, those are kind of the two spaces that I live in.
Awesome. Well, we will make sure our listeners get that. The info, we'll make sure that link is in the description box that comes along with these episodes. And just thank you for your time. Again and again, we're blown away by your work and what you are able to achieve in this industry and watching you grow. Like, it's a real treat to get even a little bit of your time. So just, we are indebted to be with us for the afternoon on Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, that means so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of the DM with Audrey Brianne and Tyree, where we interviewed Charlene Akuyemwa. You'll find links to her homepage and social media in the description box below. If you enjoyed the show, please introduce a friend to our work and tell them to like and subscribe. Follow us on the DM.net or on Instagram at Audrey Brianne and at Tyree Style. The DM is produced by DB Sound, Audrey Brianne, and Tyree.